Good afternoon, members.
Molo, Chairperson Janti, long time, long time. Nice to see your face. Your face.
Hello, Molo, member Maseko Jane.
We are here.
Start Sia and Bonani. Do we have enough members to start the meeting?
Afternoon, Chair. Afternoon, Chair members. We have enough members.
Okay. We should be ready to go. Usia had asked the department to flight their presentation. Welcome to the commissioner and your team to this one item meeting that we have, very important item. Can we start our meeting now that we correct?
May I make an apology, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Ms. Breitenbach.
Thank you. I apologize on behalf of Mr. Self. Thanks to the ANC, he has load shedding and so he's unable to connect. He will as soon as he gets some electricity again one day.
Hi, Bo.
No, let's say, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ms.
Chairperson, Chairperson, I'm here.
Kanjani, ANC.
Who's here?
Honorable Linda Moss, I am getting short notice, but I appreciate to be attending the meeting.
Okay.
Although we have load shedding, it's nothing to do with the ANC.
Welcome to the meeting. Let's start. Welcome to the meeting as our new member. Let's start our meeting. Commissioner Fraser. Are you here with your team so that you can start the presentation?
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. The audit committee is here in attendance, Chair. Maybe it's important to note that the audit committee is an independent body from the department.
Very
that
aware.
Oversees the work. So the chair of the audit committee is here with the team and they will lead us through the presentation. I'm just hoping that they've managed to put the have the presentation ready so that it could be flighted, Chair.
That's fine. Thank you, Commissioner. Can the chairperson of the audit committee introduce herself or himself to the meeting?
Good afternoon, Chairperson. Jane Masite, the chairperson of the Audit Committee for Correctional Services. Thank you very much.
But, are you alone or you have a team with you?
I have a team members, four members have joined as well.
Okay, who are the four members? Introduce them to us.
Okay, Ntate Nala, Meki Tumetse Mahlangu, Advocate Webhond, including Anna, who is our deputy chairperson.
These are members of the audit committee.
Yes, that.
Thank you. Are you ready to take us through the presentation, chairperson of the audit committee?
I think it will be flighted so that I can be able to talk to it.
Okay. Whoever who must flight it, please.
Can I go on, Chairperson?
You're welcome. Thank you. We are in your hands. Take us through the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me once more greet you and your team members, your honorable members, commissioner and the team, members of the audit committee and internal audit present. My presentation will be focusing on the background introduction role of the audit committee in monitoring key commitments, interface of the audit committee with other oversight structures as assurance providers, synopsis on irregular expenditure for the 31st of March at 31st March 2020, but I must also make a disclaimer that after the audit AG has further looked into our irregular expenditure, there was adjustments that were made. Measures expenditure. I think our main focus for this meeting was really on detection and prevention of irregular expenditure. However, I've included other information for the committee also to consider. Chairperson, in the background, I just want to talk to what PFMA defines irregular expenditure. It means any expenditure that is unauthorized, that is not unauthorized, incurred in contravention of the law in accordance to PFMA and the State Tender Board Act of 1968 and any other applicable relevant legislation that can be contravened, it can result in irregular expenditure. Some expenditure does not necessarily mean that money used was used in vain, but because it is seen as a non-compliance with the applicable legislation, it ends up being identified as in, whether it ends up identified as an irregular expenditure that needs to be investigated to determine whether it was intentional or due to negligence or unintended ways or errors. The investigation is properly outlined in the National Treasury Guideline on Irregular Expenditure. And in there, you can take other means for the non-compliance. We can take issues like condonement, which Treasury must condone. And the other process that can be taken is a disciplinary process, including investigations. In the National Treasury does not condone the irregular expenditure and there is no person for the irregular expenditure, the accounting officer may write it off as irrecoverable. In terms of Section 38, the accounting officer for the department must take all necessary and appropriate steps to prevent unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. Further, PMA prescribes the process to be followed when irregular expenditure is detected. In the Department of Correctional Service, we were qualified for irregular expenditure for the previous financial year. The note that AG found us not complying with was per the section 43B1 of PFMA. This was due to the expenditure incurred in contravention of the supply chain management requirements not being detected, appropriately disclosed in the financial statement. This is what from this is from the report of Auditor General. Consequently, AG was unable to determine the full extent of the irregular expenditure stated as 4.3 billion for the year 2019-20 on note 26. Chairperson, the Department of Correctional Services has appointed audit committee, the members that are with me, per section 38 of PFMA and 76.4D of the municipal, the Public Finance Management Act as amended. The audit committee is an authorized in terms of the approved charter to perform the duties and functions required to ensure adherence to the provision of PFMA and any applicable legislation and including all treasury regulations that are applicable to the department. The audit committee has non-executive status, is an independent body that advises the accounting officer and have an oversight role. And it also advises the executive authority and there is where the audit committee, if there are any other matter that got to be escalated to the executive authority, the audit committee has that level of communication to the office of the executive authority. Chairperson, the roles of audit committee is to monitor aspects of financial reporting, hence we do financial statements review. The other one is to look at as to whether the department is managing their business and functional financial risks. And one has to mention that the accounting officer has appointed an independent risk management committee also to assist in matters of financial risk management and governance processes and compliance with applicable legal, ethical, and regulatory requirements. In the department, there is also an ethics committee that also deals with ethical matters. The role of the audit committee in monitoring the commitment. Chairperson, I'm introducing the new term, which is key commitments, and I'm going to explain why key commitments have been introduced. And to say the key commitments are being practiced. However, because they are not documented, maybe the department will look into documenting that. And in terms of the key commitments principle, the following parties have different roles to play in terms of that: the accounting officer, management, internal audit, audit committee, executive authority, including the portfolio committee where we are now. Though we don't have anything that is documented, we are practicing those principles. The areas of specific key commitments and monitors relate to the following: improvement of internal control, which AG from his side is status of records review, reduction and elimination of irregular expenditure on issues of supply chain management, consequence management, and related matters. And we also look at the strategic and operational risk from the point of view of management, which includes supply chain management, ICT, APP, recurring audit findings. And in that, I've already explained that we do have a chairperson of risk management committee that assists the accounting officer and also assists the audit committee from the reporting point of view. We also consider information technology, information and communication technology, organizational performance. I've already talked to that. We also look at the resolution taken by internal audit and external audit as to whether the audit findings from two parties, are they implemented by management in the quest of getting a clean audit in place or to get a clean administration. The role of the audit committee continuously, moving to the next slide. The audit committee monitors the internal audit reports on a quarterly basis. They are also talking to issues of the controls, governance, including risk management. One has to say after this report has been submitted to management and to audit committee, management has to commit to implement the remedial actions on the audit has identified those risks. Audit committee monitors the accounting officers and management responses on the external and internal audit, which all include right. Irregular expenditure, chair, and
thank
also
you very
any
much,
matters.
Acting DC. The next so, item.
Sorry, who's doing that? Who's disrupting us?
There's a name that's, I think it's Matt Pet or something like that.
Okay, can you ask that person to mute, please? Otherwise, I have little patience for those things. He or she will be out of the meeting very soon.
Continue. Thank you very much. The audit committee also reports and provides recommendation on quarterly basis to the executive authority. Our first report for this financial year was presented to the executive authority, which was on the first quarter. We are working on the second quarter report. And one has to appreciate a chair that I think all of us, including AG COVID-19, has changed the reporting lines, but we are only a chairperson. And in the report that we write to the executive authority and the audit committee highlights matters that have been referred to the accounting officer for the executive authority to get an impression as to what is it that the accounting officer has to implement in terms of the recommendations. Matters that requires the attention of the executive authority are properly highlighted in the report of the audit committee for the executive authority to exactly know where are the challenges. Chairperson, we are appreciating that today we are here and we are seeing that we are exercising interfacing between yourselves and the audit committee as part of the assurance providers, as I've already mentioned earlier. And the role of the audit committee is properly defined as assurance providers in terms of the combined assurance framework that has to be adopted by the accounting officer. I think at the end of the day, I'll talk to the combined assurance quickly, Chairperson, if you allow me. And in there, the members that have to implement the combined assurance is the accounting officer, management, internal audit, external audit, AG, audit committee, and other oversight bodies like yourselves, Chair. The role of the oversight bodies is to ensure that the public interests are catered for and protected, while the role of the audit committee in this as an independent body, an AG, are the bodies that provide a complementary oversight role to Parliament. Chair, we are busy trying to figure out to have that framework that will have this oversight seamless from our side and maybe from your level if that is going to be possible. Chairperson, I'm quickly going to the synopsis of what was reported as irregular expenditure for this period, Chair. Here we are just providing the irregular expenditure per rand value and the impact in terms of the percentages, Chair. And I'm aware that maybe this information you have already have it in your possession. But I think in our audit committee, I think yesterday, the issues of non-compliance by implementing agent IDT was flagged as high in terms of the impact on the percentages that it carries a weight of 1.8 billion in terms of the irregular expenditure. And the question that was asked by audit committee was, what is it that management is doing in terms of recovery or so? The management said they will go back. However, I think they need to look at the clauses of the contract, what is in the clause of the contract. The other one was procurement of perishable provision where contracts were not in place. Management is aware of that. And the third one was the non-compliance to supply chain main prescripts. And even their management is working on the matter. I think when I talk about what has been done already, a committee will see where is management sitting in terms of that. Chair, the total irregular expenditure that we have incurred for now is 4.3 billion. And then we do have a summary of progress made on investigation on these irregular cases, Chair. We have registered 891 cases, and out of that, cases outstanding as at 31st October 2020 were 102. The ones that were finalized, 789, and the ones that are not yet investigated were standing at 36, and the cases that were in progress were standing at 66, Chair. And like I said, I know that this information is already provided. And one has to applaud management that we have implemented consequence management on these cases. In terms of the consequence management, we have put in even the sanctions that were given to the offenders, sort of. And the incidents are also included there in terms of incorrect application of an emergency clause, the quotations not obtained. Even in our meeting yesterday, we stress on this one. Management says they have since worked on it. It's no more an issue that can have an impact of about 55 incidents. The other one, Chair, is the one on CETA not allowed, CETA Act not allowed, which is on IMS. Management has already put some measures in place, and I must just maybe talk to the measures, which is the first matter was final written warning issued, and the second matter of CETA as well, a final written warning was issued. A fraudulent declaration, there was a suspension without salary, non-declaration of interest. Maybe one has to say whatever that management has came up with in terms of consequence management is outlined there, Chairperson. And in terms of rent value, for these cases, we are spending at 292 million. Chair, I'm moving on. Stats in terms of summary of progress made by outcome of investigations. The investigation that I've already talked to, according to the summary here, Chair, we have managed to finalize 262 cases and not found to be irregular, which takes 17% of the 44.3 billion. Finalized discipline referred 124, finalized discipline 136, and finalized condonement, 167. The cases that are referred for condonement, 32. Finalized cases referred for restrictions, 66. In progress, 66. Cases not yet investigated, 36, which are carrying 42% of the amount that I've already talked to. Chair, going forward, measures undertaken to detect and to prevent irregular expenditure. We have internal audit appointed by the accounting officer per the relevant section, and their duties is to execute duties of internal audit, which include independent assurance on internal control, financial information, risk management, performance management, and compliance with legislation. And these reports are there to assist the accounting officers to execute his responsibilities and duties. Internal audit has a approved audit methodology. I'm talking to this audit methodology, Chair, because when AG was rating internal audit and audit committee, one of the things that they cited was the approved internal audit methodology. At the time of auditing, the methodology was not yet approved. It was in a draft manner, but it was approved. The only thing that is still outstanding that is going to be done now, it's going to be training everybody that will be using this methodology. It was only approved in our audit committee meeting on the 29th. We have also, Chair, have a risk-based audit plan, which looks into all the high risk in the department, which is approved by the audit committee per the law. And part of the internal audit activities that we have approved is supply chain management, which also includes your irregular expenditure. And in that, internal audit is detecting irregular expenditure and advise management on the recommendations that they issue to management how to deal with the irregular expenditure. Internal auditors are trained regularly in order to add value to the organization. They also strengthen the control by identifying control deficiencies and advise management accordingly. Like I've already said, in terms of supply chain management, they do that. One has to say as well that management put some measures of internal audit independently to review bids exceeding 2 million prior to awarding of those contracts. And the internal auditors were working on this project until where internal audit was advised by National Treasury that they need to have somebody with capacity and skill that will be able to assist in that. Chair, management is working on that to get that capacity. Internal audit conducts follow-ups on the internal and external audit action plans, including the ones that are talking to irregular expenditure and all other like wasteful and fruitless expenditure. And this internal audit reports to us on quarterly basis. On the other side, internal audit committee undertook the following: recommended strengthening of the supply SCM supply chain management control environment by filling a vacant post and ensure that appropriate qualified personnel is recruited. This was the recommendation of our meeting yesterday to management, and I think that is coupled by also capacitating internal audit as well as contract management. And one, when I'm talking to this, I'm also thinking that our budget in terms of COE has been reduced because National Treasury took about, maybe management will also advise me. I think 900 million was taken by Treasury, but management will assist me. I might be wrong. Maybe it's more than that. Let me just check. But CFO will confirm that. It might be more than that for other departments that are struggling to have enough funds. However, the recommendation of audit committee, we recommended that they have to prioritize this because it's where we want to cap and prevent irregular expenditure. Assess and monitor the extent to which management control environment is, whether it is adequate in terms of importance of internal control, management on risk to draw conclusion on the adequacy of effectiveness of internal control. One of the things that AG is really hard on the audit committee is to give a report of effectiveness of internal control systems that management put in place on yearly. And we advise that AG findings included as irregular expenditure are incorporated in performance agreement of senior management, which the accounting officer is also looking into that, because that you'll be able to see as to whether all management hands are on deck to deal with irregular expenditure, not only irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well. Establish whether management has relevant policies and procedures, and management are reporting on these policies on quarterly basis, where they have changed the procedures and policies that will be able to put the systems of control in place in terms of a supply chain management, compliance checklist, irregular expenditure register. Those are some of the things that management has brought to the fore: compliance framework and consequence management framework. And in terms of compliance framework, I must applaud management to initiate the process of having that in place as well, because that will assist the process of audit committee to see as to whether all PFMA PFMA clauses, including the framework, not the framework, the Treasury regulation, are being followed as intended, because they, one of the things that we'll be checking as well is detection of irregular expenditure processes as to whether management is following what is expected of them. Evaluate steps that management has taken to encourage ethical and lawful behavior. Like I've already said, management has ethical committee that deals with ethical matters, and that is reported to the audit committee on quarterly basis. Submission of quarterly reports to the audit committee on compliance with laws and regulations is what, where we can detect and see as to whether management is following all legislation and laws. Submission of quarterly report on action and play and measures implemented by management to address all audit findings raised by Auditor General. One has to say management has put a plan in place where it is indicative that they are spending on 70% on implementation of AG findings, 30% is in progress. But the recommendation of the audit committee was for them to... Chair?
Just want you to indicate how far are you from...
A chairperson, I am like two slides, I'll be done. Sorry about it. Okay. And chairperson, lastly, this is almost my last slide. One has to say audit committee is also responsible to look at the high risk areas, and for this time around, I can report that we have recommended to internal audit for them to look at PPE tenders on COVID-19, and the report was submitted to management for corrective actions. And Chair, I've already talked to issue of we are reviewing AFS on yearly basis, but Correctional Service has implemented that they have another layer where they do interim that we look into as well. Chairperson, I've already talked to issue that we have risk management committee that assists the process as well. Finally, Chairperson, conclusion, as the audit committee, we are encouraging that we will have the combined assurance where we'll be able to provide fully on what we have to do. However, we as the audit committee appreciate the challenges of the department and believe that with the cooperation and commitment of management, all assurance providers will be able to reach the level of a clean administration that all of us we want to have. One has to say we have historical challenges, but we think we can turn the corner, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Audit Committee Chairperson Jane Masite. You can remove the presentation so that I can see the members who are going to engage in the report. I hope that they people will raise their hands to indicate. I can see that I have a list of names so far. Werner Horn will start, followed by Norma Temba Maseko Jele, followed by Jay himself, who had no electricity, so South Africa is good, is giving him electricity again, followed by Mr. Honorable Ngola Ngola. In that order, I'll start with the Honorable Hall.
Thank you, Chair. And firstly, we can never say South Africa is good if they sometimes give us electricity back. We're entitled to it 24 hours of the day if we're prepared to pay. Be that as it may, Chairperson, I want to firstly make a statement that that if one reads in a presentation from an audit committee a statement regarding irregular expenditure, which more or less reads that such expenditure does not necessarily mean that money has been wasted or fraud was committed, it must raise certain questions. It might be factually true, but I think it's problematic if an audit committee approaches its job from the premise that one shouldn't worry too much about irregular expenditure unless something hits you between the eye indicating something untoward. It's not really a big issue. I would rather have thought that a statement from an audit committee must say something to the effect that because this amount was deemed irregular expenditure by the Auditor General, it might indicate the possibility of fraud or corruption and therefore needs a proper investigation, although we are aware that it is not always conclusively evidential in nature that it is that fraud or the corruption was involved. So I would advise firstly that the audit committee more, change their approach and rather do the job on behalf of South Africa to look critically into these matters. Then in addition to that, Chair, I want to use that as a bridge to specifically talk to the issue of the 1.36 billion rand, which was deemed irregular expenditure, 31% of the irregular expenditure for what is called perishables where contracts were not in place. And I want to say that I think we are in need of a very specific and detailed explanation as to what this entails and what the investigation into this, what it has uncovered. Because this is typically, in all of our experience, the type of expenditure where there was, if there was not a proper tender and contract process, where you could very soon find yourself that you pay exorbitant amounts of money for things which you could have procured at rates through ordinary commercial channels, even through a three quotation process, and which ultimately, even though the expense could have been 1.36 billion, history has taught us that if one just looks at the way, for example, Gauteng schools were under the ANC government, were clean for millions of rands per school versus what the DA Western Cape government could achieve at literally a few thousand rand for deep cleaning. And this is the type of things we must ask: what value, what was the real market value of the perishables obtained? So I think we need a further explanation in respect of that. Then in respect of the report where it states that in respect of 17% of the investigation, ultimately the audit committee found that the expenditure was not irregular. I think it needs a further explanation, because to my mind, unless the auditor general changes its audit opinion, expenditure that has been branded irregular remains irregular. And I don't think it's good enough for the audit committee to come and say, no, we've now found it to be not irregular. So I can't understand that feedback to the committee. And then lastly, Chair, in respect of having a bird's eye view over this whole process, it's very clear that despite improvement, and I think we must say there's improvement this specific meeting was arranged because in the previous financial year or two financial years, there were virtually no investigations into irregular expenditure. So let's give credit where credit is due. There has been some progress, but a bird's eye view will still show to us that the bulk of the irregular expenditure in terms of monetary value has not been properly dealt with. And I don't think the presentation gives us any indication that that is about to change. And we must ask for a detailed plan to conclusively address all of the irregular expenditure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Horn. Colleagues, you know our game plan at this point. I'm going to ask the chairperson of the audit committee, Jane Masita, and your team to give a return of service and respond to the issues raised by Honorable Horn. You could leave out the issues about ANC and so on. It's just his affection to the party. Leave that out. That was a way of him showing his affection to the party. So don't respond to those issues about the ANC. I would want you to respond, because I'm not going to go to the next member. This is our game plan. This is how we're going to do it. You're going to respond for each and every member so that their issues are not lost. Can we get a return of service?
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. I was about to talk to the part that you said I must not talk to it, but I'm going to request, because we do to talk to this one, I'm going to ask Ndate Nala as our financial specialist to talk to the questions of Ndate Horn. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Where's Nala? I can't see Nala at all. Can he speak?
Ndate Nala is not in.
Chair, to try and answer, and let me deal with the questions. The issue on the presentation, the comment of us highlighting the fact that when it's irregular, it's not the value is not there, is noted and we apologize. It was not intended to, and we agree with the comments in terms of fraud and corruption. With regard to the comments around the analysis of that information we don't have, we would provide, we will request management to provide or we will send it. With regard to, okay, that's that. With regard to the fact that the progress is marginal, I assume the point that was being made. Yes, we do agree that perhaps the progress, it's there, but it's not good enough. It's still not good enough. We agree with that. The point with regard to the fact that maybe the presentation, maybe the action plan is the presentation doesn't fully cover what ought to happen. Let's accept that. Unfortunately, the presentations had to be prepared before the last audit committee. Therefore, the discussions that we had yesterday or the results thereof are not incorporated here. If I may give an example, we have 1.8 billion, the 44% of the total irregular expenditure pertains to implementing agents. In our discussions, it was clear we discussed comprehensive, and unfortunately it's not incorporated because it was only yesterday. We discussed that matter comprehensively. If management, and we made complete recommendation, if those recommendations are implemented accordingly, we show that that will not reoccur. For example, we said with regard to the implementing agencies, the departments need to make sure that it's got the right to send its own auditors to audit whatever is there, two, it needs to review their contracts in such a way that those contracts have got penalty clauses in terms of if there's any irregularity. And not only that, the contracts should make sure that the supply chains that are utilized, they are in line with that. Okay, that's one. Two, okay, that's one aspect we discussed is not there. The other observation we said perhaps there's some issues around the sanctions that we that are in place. We felt that maybe on face value, they don't look like they're harsh enough. They don't look like they can discourage somebody from doing the wrong things, because if you look at that, there's only one dismissal and so forth. We said maybe, and then the departments had a good answer to say, okay, that's outside the department. It's based on the chair, on the people, on presiding officers. We had recommendations in terms of how we need to do that. To answer the questions, yes, obviously the presentation was done a little bit before the meetings. Maybe in the next sessions, we'll come up with a plan, of course, from the audit committee point of view, as well as the management point of view, dealing with comprehensively in terms of saying, how do we make sure all the parties as part of the combined insurance in terms of how we make sure that this is clean up, not only it's clean up, but there's an avoidance of repeat of similar situations going forward in the future. Chairperson, I hope I've answered, but if I didn't do justice, I'm prepared to try again. Thank you.
Thank you. Audit committee chair, any other person?
Yeah, chairperson. Thank you very much. I just want to emphasize that from the audit committee, we really take irregular expenditure very, very serious. We interrogate these issues in our previous meeting, and the same concern that committee, especially in that the Horn is raising, we raised. But I think management must come in terms of perishable goods. I'm going to request the CFO to talk to that, if you allow me, Chairperson.
All right, thank you. On it, CFO.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable members, and the team from the Correctional Services. With respect to perishable provisions, it is instances where management areas, we have regions, six regions, and a number of management areas under each region. Now, for perishable provisions, is for food items for inmates' care. But there are instances where contracts are not in place because they expire. When they expire, management areas attempt to put in place contracts through competitive bidding processes. Because we had realized that this irregular expenditure emanating from contracts where we don't review and do due diligence. In certain instances, we do due diligence and we find non-compliance, which would mean that if they go and award, it will be an irregular contract for, say, the period within which it was arranged. Normally, we do two-year contracts on perishable provisions. Now, by introducing that, part of the issue that brought about an absence of contracts is where we then say the management areas must withdraw those bids or the tenders because of that non-compliance that was picked up internally, and then they advertise. They then start buying through three price quotations or more than three price quotations for items such as bread, mealy meal, and groceries, and so forth, whilst they are arranging for a new contract. Now, in terms of the SCM prescripts, because of the value, if you buy for a long period through those price quotations where you don't have contracts, and in aggregate, say for over 8 months, those purchases exceed 500,000, which is the threshold for competitive bidding process. The AG said it is not it is not in line with the prescripts because we've split basically the purchases whilst we are arranging the competitive bidding processes. So we went and revisited the population where AG said you have split orders because you didn't have contracts. In aggregate, that 1.3 billion is from various management areas where there were not contracts, and they had bought through price quotations. We have advertised a bid over 5 years on nutritional services, which is the supply of perishable provisions and non-perishable provisions, in December, which covers then all areas. And the intention is to make sure that by the 1st of April, we will have contracts throughout the country for perishable provisions and avoiding the issue of splitting of purchase orders. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Is that it, Audit Chair, so that we can proceed to the next member? You've covered all the areas asked.
Yes, Chair, I think so.
Thank you. Members, you would know that follow-ups are coming at the end. So let me take the next member with this set of questions. Honorable Maseko Jele.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the presentation of the Chairperson of the audit and greet everyone, Chairperson. I'm sure the first question that I was going to ask, it is more or less the one that the member has already indicated from the beginning, Honorable Horn. I was very much worried, even myself, but I'm still worried, Chairperson, because my first question, you know that we are, it's my first time serving in this committee, but when I listen to the presentation of the Chairperson, I'm not sure. I feel like this is a new committee or that is giving us information. Like I was going to say, Chairperson, how long have the committee been in existence or in terms of working with the department? And I think this is the question that I would like to hear from the chairperson responding to it first before, so that we can understand how big is our problem in terms of this, because the responsibility that has been given to the committee, to me, are very serious, chairperson. And we expect that we expect returns for the value for what we are giving out in connection with all the resources that we are giving, even through the committee. So I was worried, Chairperson. That's why I'm saying I don't know. My first question is that one of saying, how long is the committee have been working with the department? That is the first question. And then the second one, Chairperson, the chairperson of the audit committee mentioned that indeed, whatever the money, that there's no money that has been wasted in those some of those wasteful expenditures. But I think it was going to be nice, Chairperson, if we were going to get the specifics, the details in line with it. Because now, Chairperson, I think it's time now to work if we have not worked before in terms of correcting the situation that we are facing in this in our department. To me, 4.3 billion, Chairperson, is a lot. I'm not sure it's a lot, even if it can be explained, whatever explanation that we can get, but it's a lot of money that we really don't want to see this recurring. Because when I was reading here, I discovered that these irregular expenditures, wasteful expenditures, we still have them even between for the year 2019 and to 2020. So I was asking myself, that is why maybe I asked the question, how long has the committee been working with the department, Chairperson? So, but also let me just continue. My other question, Honorable Horn covered me, where we don't, procurement was done, where contracts were not in place. But also, Chairperson, there is another one that we have picked up, that competitive biddings processes were not properly followed. I think somebody must also tell us on this one, when they were picking up these things, because for me, it's a lot, Chairperson, because it's also the issue of non-compliance with the CETA, the logistic processes not followed. I'm talking in terms of the irregular expenditure. On the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Chairperson, there's this issue also that we are talking about of traveling, where there are cancellations in terms of accommodations, conferences. That money, Chairperson, I'm sure is the one that the Chairperson was referring to, that even if maybe it happens, but there was not money wasted. I don't think so, because when you cancel, especially on these conferences, Chairperson, there is a certain percentage that they are taking. So maybe the department will also have to explain to us, why are we having a such, Chairperson? So what really puzzled me, and it is the issue of when we were reading here, Chairperson, we picked up also on the issue of Huma fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the issue of training not being attended. What is the, because what I'm hearing now, Chairperson, is the committee says when they were responding that they met yesterday. They met yesterday. So some of the changes that were supposed to be, maybe they would be explaining or giving us information on here, it's not here because they were not able to consolidate that. I was going to say, Chairperson, next time we can't accept that explanation. Because the committee, if they really want to make justice on these issues, they should meet maybe 2 days or three days before they come to the portfolio committee, so that they are able to cover everything. Because to me, this, it's like they are covering up for the department. And it comes out like that, even if it's not like that, but it comes out like that, that they are covering for the department, because it's like they're giving excuses for the department. So we'll appreciate that the committee meets days before they come to the portfolio, so that they are able to present us with all that information. I can hear even on their last slide where they are just giving us some of the things that they think they are now in place. I even picked up this one of the risk committee is in place. We don't even, sometimes we must hear, we want to hear also this committee. What is this committee doing in helping us in eradicating or making sure that we are looking forward in dealing with the issues within the department, so that we don't find ourselves where we are? So in conclusion, Chair, I was going to say, I want to remind the committee of what they were presenting, the chairperson was presenting in the beginning when he started with the presentation in terms of their responsibilities. Now we are, I'm the member of the ANC, and I get offended when I hear, I know it's sometimes it's how we talk, you know, with other opposition parties, but it is not nice, because this committee, because you are hired by the government, which is led by the ANC, everything that is wrong or anything that is not going well, it will always come back to the ANC. So, and I'm not, I don't think, Chair, I'm going to take kind to that even next time when they come. So let's make sure that we do things right, and make sure, even if we don't know you, we never hired you, but we are going to be hard on you going forward. If and only if I can be told, Chairperson, in closure, that for how long this committee have been working with the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. A return of service, Chair of Committee, in terms of those comments and the question.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, Mayor, for the questions. We are 2 years old in the department. We were celebrating the second year now in March. And Chair, I want to talk to the issue, statement that we said that such expenditure does not mean that it was spent in vain. To say this is part of what we follow in terms of the guideline on irregular expenditure, to say there should be a process for us to be able to identify, detect, and be able to say this needs a thorough investigation, this needs us to prosecute and so forth. And the statement is not intending to say, as the committee, we are turning a blind eye for the irregular expenditure. Like I said, Chairperson, we take seriously the issue of irregular expenditure. It's a pity that I wish we can record our proceedings in our meetings the same way you feel as the committee. We feel the same way when you talk to management on these issues. And to come to the issue of that we met maybe yesterday, one has to say when we met yesterday, it was we were only aware that we have to come to the committee, and that is not something that we want to excuse ourselves. We have been in this process. As Chairperson, in my presentation, I dwelt into where we have high percentages in terms of the impact. And I think in terms of the first one on the 41%, we really, really hammered management on that to say we need to get information as to what is it that is being done in terms of this. And also to management, we mentioned that in the contract that they have entered with IDT, what is it that they have to do in terms of putting a clause that will be making these people to repay back the organization. Maybe one has to say, we even recommended that management going forward, all the contracts might have a clause for a recourse if the contractor or the consultant is not delivering as expected. Chair, as well to talk to the timing, we have 4 days that we come in a year for our regular meetings and 2 for our other meetings. We only come 6 times in a year. And in that 6 meetings, we try to cover this. And Chairperson, it's just a pity that we cannot identify exactly things that we do, but we push management hard as far as possible for them to deliver. And maybe one has to go back and look at what the legislation says. It says the audit committee advises management, and it is upon the accounting officer to implement this. And I did make a statement that the accounting officer is putting systems in place. The only thing is that they are not being seen as far as possible yielding the results. And we are committing further, Chair, that when you go back, we will dive again, as we have been doing, into these issues that the members are not really comfortable with, and try to see how best can we turn the corner. But these issues that we are talking about, it's not like we are not talking about. Chairperson, I think there was a question that I wanted the CFO to talk to. I think it was on the follow on the, I'm not sure. I think it was talking to the process that was not followed to the T. Maybe the CFO had that one. Chairperson, I think the Chairperson of Risk Management Committee, management yesterday, they said they're gonna invite him. He should be part of this meeting. Thank you very much.
Okay, are you done? Because you seem not to be sure what the CFO must attend.
So the CFO must attend to the proper processes that was not followed in terms of procuring. I think it was perishable goods. He has already talked to it, but I think there was something that the member was talking to it on that one. And there was an issue as well on the traveling, that there was traveling made in vain in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
Okay, CFO, so that I can go to Honorable James Self, followed by Kola and Brighton Bach. Quickly, CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. With respect to competitive bidding process not followed, there is instances where due to lack of capacity within SCM throughout the various regions and the management areas, there are instances where the bids will be advertised as required in terms of the law, but there is processes not adhered to. For instance, where in terms of calculations of preferential points are not done appropriately, which results in incorrect rankings of the of suppliers who are supposed to have been awarded the bid. Sometimes it's instances where the tax clearance certificates in the past would not have been confirmed at the time of the award, resulting in that irregularity, because before you award, you have to check compliance. And in other instances, you'd find that BE certificates were not attached, but only obtained afterwards. We have since introduced annual SCM workshops with all practitioners within the supply chain management. And there is now improvement in that regard. We also updated our the supply chain management manual, which is more of a standard operating procedures, which guides the practitioners, as well as checklists at the end of the process, where the practitioner would then check against what are the requirements before they award. So those consolidation of the manuals has assisted, because in certain instances, because of many changes that Treasury would bring about, some of those instructions notes from Treasury were not incorporated in a consolidated manual. So some people or practitioners would miss them out of basically the handbook, if I can put it that way. But there is improvement, because we also now check the through the due diligence process that I indicated. Also, Chairperson, we've also introduce a situation where for us to take advantage of economies of scale, we have looked at the demand management plan and the quantities that are required, or we require to source externally, and combined the purchases. So you'll find that because of proximity, you'll find that management areas that are close to each other, we merge them so that we can get we can negotiate prices. By so doing, it allows us to also zoom into, because of the bigger value, because we combined the tenders, then those are then reviewed at head office level after the regions have evaluated the processes. The other control that we put in place is the signing of the contracts of certain values is now escalated to head office, where we've got legal practitioners who vet the contracts before signing, to avoid legal disputes after the contract has been entered into. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Honourable Self.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm following on from earlier questions, but the thing that bugs me is on slide 9, and it's the irregular expenditure that goes with 338.7 million rands that was allegedly spent on the nutritional services extension of contract. And I seem to remember in the past that there were other extensions of this particular contract that were approved, that did not go out to tender, and were then classified as irregular expenditure. Now, the question that I have is, what is the nature of that extension of the nutritional contract? And secondly, what steps does the audit committee do to encourage the department to avoid repeat irregularities? It's one thing to have an audit committee interrogates the irregular expenditure, but it's only useful insofar as one is able then to change the behavior of people and institutions. And I wonder whether there has been a change in the way in which the department spends its money. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Self, brief and concise. Return of service.
Thank you, Chairperson. Advocate Weapon will deal with this one.
Okay, this one needs an advocate. Go ahead, Advocate Weapon.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, and good afternoon to the Honorable Members, the National Commissioner and Management, as well as the Internal Audit Unit. Chair, I just wanted to mention, Chair, that this is a very, very, very important question, Chair, about what steps the Audit Committee is taking in order to prevent recurring irregular expenditure. Chair, so the measures that we currently putting in place, Chair, is to ask the Department, Chair, to correct the poor contract administration, Chair. That then means, Chair, that there must be proper planning that the Department will put in place, whereby they will be warned, Chair, 6 months before a contract expires, so that they can, if they require the services, Chair, go out on tender, so that they have sufficient time, Chair, instead of the Department now reverting back to an extension, as opposed to testing the market again, as is required, Chair, after the expiration of a contract. Chair, then the third issue, Chair, is the Department, Chair, where irregular expenditure has been incurred, is doing a root cause analysis, so that, Chair, we could then eradicate the systemic errors or faults that cause the irregular expenditure to be incurred. And what is also very important, Chair, to note, Chair, is that we are having, Chair, what we would call the full list of findings, Chair, in an audit action plan. And those findings, Chair, guides us, Chair, but some of the contracts, Chair, that has been entered into by the Department, Chair, are so complex, Chair, because you will find that for the duration of the contract, the irregular expenditure will be incurred. And up until the contract has expired, Chair, and a new contract has been put in place, then those irregular expenditure might occur across the different financial years. But it's very important, Chair, that the Audit Committee, Chair, does not stop by giving only advice, Chair, but is to exercise what we would call continuous monitoring. Chair, there's also consequence management, Chair, that the Department is affecting, and there is a list, Chair, of investigations that are continuing, and that will also then serve as a measure, Chair, to deter future irregular expenditure, Chair. And that's some of the measures, Chair, and we are continuously looking, Chair, at ways to reduce the 4.3 billion, Chair, of irregular expenditure. And Chair, what is also very important to mention before I close, Chair, is the fact that the irregular expenditure that has been incurred, Chair, after it has been investigated, it must still be condoned by National Treasury, Chair. And sometimes the process of condonation takes a bit longer than the normal process due to the volume of transactions that the National Treasury needs to consider, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Whippont. I proceed to the next honorable member, Kala Ngola, to be followed by Glenys Breitenbach after your return of service. Honorable Ngola.
Thank you very much, Chair. I hope I'm audible.
Siyakuva khoba baba. I can hear you.
All right. Thanks, Chair. Chair, there's one important part that I've noticed from the report, that which of the list of the audit committee members and their qualifications. A very important part, Chair, that some may disregard. It is important, Chair, because it gives us a clear picture that do we have a qualified and a capable committee to execute the work that is supposed to be doing. But there is one issue that I've noticed there of a certain Ms. Mahlangu, whose qualification is legal. In South Africa, I've never heard a qualification as legal. And she's the only one under whose name is written only legal. So what is this legal? You must tell us, what is this legal? What are the qualifications of Ms. Mahlangu, who's part of the audit committee? The second point that I would like to make is on the findings. There are quite important findings there. part of which is lack of consequence management. When you go down the report, even on the AG's report, findings, it says the AG could not find any record of disciplinary committees. So it tells that we are in a festival of illegalities, such that if people are unable to perform or deliberately do not perform the duties that they are supposed to perform, they know that there is nothing that the department is going to do in terms of correcting that, in terms of bringing them into book. And I think, Chair, the committee must register that we are not happy with that state of affairs. We are quite not happy with that. Or maybe the department must prepare a report for the 5th of March meeting, where they are going to present their record of consequence management. The second of which, Chair, is the issue of no compliance with laws. We make laws, then people just decide not to comply with them. That is tantamount to treason in our own role. We can't be busy making laws, spending an entire time representing the people of South Africa, then the department decides just to ignore the laws that we make. We cannot be happy with that state of affairs, Chair. I think this is another thing that we must flag properly and defer to the 5th March meeting, where they are going to give a detailed report and the reasoning behind their breach of South African laws and regulations. The issue, Chair, is part of the report is the lack of capacity in the ICT sector or in the technology sector. Maybe the department must preface how far have they gone in terms of capacitating that particular technology sector. We can't, at this time when the entire country and government is searching swiftly towards what we call the fourth industrial revolution, then we've got ICT sectors within our public departments that are not capable of moving forward with the times. Very soon, the economy will be based on the digital technology. And if we don't have the capacity within the department, are we quite sure that the department will have adequate capacity to perform in terms of the new era of technology? Chair, there are millions of rands. I'm even afraid to mention the amounts. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to us. It's embarrassing to the people of South Africa entirely that we have got these much millions of rands whom have been consumed in what you call the irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. If that's so, Chair, what then becomes the role of the audit committee to guide the department in this area? Can we confidently, this committee, say, with given this report, we have got a capable audit committee that is able to assist the department to avoid these irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditures? Chair, the last question that I will have. In the expenditure report, the 2020-2021 financial year expenditure is 99.48%. Chair, you will correct me if I'm wrong. Part of the 2019-2020 financial year was hit by what you call the COVID lockdown. And the expenditure of the department is close to 100%. Are we really saying that COVID and lockdown and everything else did not inconvenience the department from spending? 99.48%. That's equivalent to the entire spending of the financial year budget. Thank you very much, sir. Those were my questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ola Ngola. Jane Masiti, Chairperson of the Audit Committee, you are on the floor. Return of service.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to request Mema Hlangu to talk to her qualification, the legal part. And I'm glad that there is a question on IT challenges. I'm going to request the ICT committee chairperson to deal with that, Chair. And on other matters that the committee requested us to look into, I think on issues of compliance with the law, as an audit committee member, she can take that one as well, and expenditure escalation. But Chair, if you allow me, the issue of disciplinary committees and lack of consequence management, can I request the accounting officer to take that? Because it's more on the administrative side, if you allow me, Chair.
You are allowed. Let's go in that order. Who's next?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon, Honorable Members. Good afternoon, National Commissioner and my colleagues and management. I must say that I don't know really what is in front of the Honorable Member who asked about the legal. All I can say is that I'm an attorney by profession. I've got a legal qualification and legal background. I'm also serving in several boards, and then I was a company secretary for several SOEs. I must say that I really don't know what was intended by the word legal, which was which the honorable member saw. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honorable members, the commissioner, management, and the audit committee. My name is Anna Badimo. I'm the deputy chairperson of the audit committee. I'm also the ICT governance committee chairperson. I'm a computer scientist by training. I've got a BSc and a BSc honors in computer science. I also have got an MSc and an MBA. And I have
a... Anna Badimo. Yes. There was a specific question asked on me Kitumitsi Mahlangu. So I don't want all of you to market yourself with your questions. Yeah, there was a specific question. It has been responded. Worry about the qualification that you are going through there now. Just focus on the question.
Although the accounting officer is also going to talk to consequence management, as the audit committee will also exercise oversight over consequence management, and you also comment on the, you know, the gaps that we see sometimes in terms of the sanctions or the rate of investigations. We do query them about the aging of the cases and so forth, but I believe the accounting officer will talk to that. We believe the department can do better, and we also would like them to increase the pace. Then in terms of the ICT issues, I do both in the ICT governance committee and in the audit committee, raise issues of digital transformation. Even the meeting that we had this week and last week, I did talk to issues of digital transformation, issue of security to support the department in the out of office working arrangements that were introduced as a result of the lockdowns. To be specific, I also advised even yesterday on the issues of implementation of robotics and process automation as defined, machine learning as defined in some of the 4IR principles. So I must say, from an ICT perspective, in terms of the department going forward and the department adopting the latest technologies, we do advise the department on that. And then, as the chairperson had said, we leave it up to the department to implement, and on our side, we do the monitoring. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Commissioner Fraser.
Chairperson, if you allow me.
Yes.
We did not answer a question of a lack of skills in IT department, and that's the chairperson of it, if you allow me.
Okay.
Okay. In terms of the skills, I think it's one of the challenges that the IT department is facing. Actually, we had an ICT governance committee this morning, and they have developed a sourcing strategy, which we have recommended that they take it for approval and implement it. So it's a concern that I have raised in my quarterly meetings, and which I'm hoping that, you know, it will be taken into consideration when decisions are made around sourcing, because without a fully resourced IT department, the issue of an efficient, secure IT service will be difficult to achieve. In fact, sometimes in some of the action plans that they have to implement, they falling behind because of that particular issue. And of course, we do have the challenges with CETA, which are also escalate in the sense that sometimes it takes a time for them to procure, and COVID-19 has made the process even more difficult for them to procure. So it has had an impact on ICT. So if those issues are addressed, then I'm sure we will see progress in terms of the implementation of a lot of activities within ICT. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. If you could allow me to get the CFO just to speak on the budget issue, and then I'll respond after that, Chair.
Thank you. Go ahead, CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to provide some clarity on the budget spend for the year 2019-20. Which ended 31 March. We spent 99.5%, which is...
Just complete that when you say it ended 31st March 2020. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Just a few days after the COVID started.
Yes, I just wanted to correct that, yes, to say with the expenditure, there was no impact, large, material impact on COVID for that few days. Thank you.
So it means the next report that could be affected is the 2020-2021.
Precisely, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. I think that helps, that clarity. Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of consequent management, if we could provide the committee with a comprehensive report in advance of the 5th of March, because then we'll have the specific details and we can respond to that, Chair. I also thought if we are able to also deal with our projects around the 4IR, what we are doing in terms of modernization, what are the projects, we'll submit those reports in advance, and then we'll be ready to respond to ensure that we're accurate in what we present to the committee, Chair.
Okay, that's fair. Thank you, Commissioner. The next member, Honorable Glenys Breitenbach.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I have been covered.
You sure?
I'm 100% sure. I have one question left to ask, but I'll ask it to you offline. Thank you.
Okay, all right. That's fine. Thank you. Any other member? Velma, you had your hand up? None.
No,
okay.
No, can I? Questions covered.
Thank you. The other members that had asked, can I check if any member, because this is now the time for follow-ups in the questions that you've asked, because I didn't give you space for follow-ups. If you have got any follow-up, please take this opportunity to deal with those follow-ups that would have emerged from the responses. I can see Honorable Werner Horn is ready for that. The floor is yours, Honorable Werner Horn.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm back at the perishables, and I would like to specifically request that in respect of the 1.8 billion rand deemed irregular expenditure on perishables, that we be furnished with a detailed breakdown to ultimately enable us to see what perishables was procured and what the unit price per category of perishables was. So for example, the reference was specifically made to bread. We as a portfolio committee should ultimately to see if we pay 12 rand 70 for bread, what was the amount the department through this process of acting without contracts paid for bread. And similarly with rice, and if there was fresh produce amongst it, milk, etc., etc., we should be able be afforded the opportunity to verify for ourselves whether there was value for money and whether prices were inflated through this process of procurement that was deemed irregular expenditure by the Auditor General. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horn, for that follow-up. We've noted it down. The next, any other member with a follow-up? None. Before I summarize, perhaps to go back to Jane Masite, the Chair of the Audit Committee. Do you want to say any final comments on behalf of the Audit Committee?
Yes, Chair. Chairperson, I want to promise the Portfolio Committee that as the Audit Committee, we are committed in the process of good governance, and we are doing everything in our power to turn the corner, and also to say to the committee, some of the things are not moving fast as expected, and we found the amounts of irregular expenditure, wasteful and whatever at this level. But the Audit Committee is committed to really to turn a corner. And the Chair, I think as management will be presenting the reports going forward to this committee. If needs be, we can also be requested to come through. But the Chair, we really committed in the process. Thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity for allowing us to present our report today, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair. If there's any, we will go look at our notes, Chair. If there's anything we haven't answered, we'll make sure that we submit it in writing, Chairperson, in advance to the committee before we arrive at the next sitting. Thank you, Chair.
All right. thank you very much, colleagues. I think at this point, that's where we're going to pause for this discussion. But I think it's proper just to raise a few issues in the way of a summary as we go forward. Members are of the view that a better and an improved plan would need to be tabled again in front of this committee. Around the issues that you have brought to us. And I think as part of that plan, more specifics are needed as raised by members of the committee. And you have indicated that, Chairperson of the Audit Committee, that there are certain issues you've raised with the management, meaning the management led by the commissioner here, as well as the executive authority, which is the minister. Would be very much interested for you to outline what are these issues that you have red flagged for both the executive authority, which is the minister, and the accounting officer in terms of his entire management, and what has been the progress on those issues that have been red flagged? I couldn't ask that question because it needs to be responded specifically case by case, issue by issue that you have raised. When did you raise this issue with the executive authority? When did you raise it with the management through the accounting officer? What has been the response on those issues? Because when we call you to this portfolio committee, we want the audit committee to account properly in that way. We want that to be part of your further presentation that you must do. I think Honorable Horn is making the point about a comprehensive list of these perishables in terms of the details that he's raising. Basically, a comprehensive list that assists us to look for value for money in what you have done. I think in preparation for the meeting of the 5th of March, would appreciate, for example, all of these issues for you to have submitted them well before that meeting. The meeting of the 5th of March, which want to make sure that we extend the full day of that, we have identified and in our program that on that day, we want to deal with all the key failures of the department, the areas of failure that are blocking progress. And out of this meeting, we're going to indicate to you what some of those key areas are. So besides the department and management, audit committee will be required in that meeting too for its own role that it is playing. I think there's an issue of the value for change that we want to see. Members here say we need to see results. If audit committee says it has done this, what are the results of what you have done? Or are you just ticking the box? Is there an impact on the work that you're doing as the audit committee? And within that, Honorable Toiler was making the point about when you meet on the 5th, one of the issues I'm going to tackle with you is are the results of the effective consequent management actions that you're putting in place. And it will be important that you prepare that. Amongst other things that this department is known for as one of its glaring failures is the issue of the ICT. The ICT failures in the department. You can be assured that when we give you that list, latest by Monday, you would have ICT being one of those issues that we want you to come and talk to us, because beyond the 5th of March, we want to be making our own conclusions as the committee. So the 5th of March is giving you a chance to say to us, because when we move from the premise that in this area you have failed, hence we're saying come and talk to us about this. We're not asking you, we're saying you have failed in this area, you come and tell us why you think we're not correct when you say we have failed in this particular area. And we're not going to do a shopping list of those areas. It's going to be a handful of those areas that have got an impact in the overall functioning of the department, including those audit committees. Those who were there in that meeting were paraphrasing this to say we're doing this, because if you remember, at the annual report you presented of the annual report 18-19, we discovered a lot of key failings in the department. And in that meeting, we asked for a turnaround strategy. We've not received that turnaround strategy. So we're doing it differently in this regard. So the date of 5th of March becomes an important date. Post that, we are going to have to make up our minds about certain things in the department. So you've got an opportunity to influence that direction for the 5th of March. With that, colleagues, thank you very much for your attendance, the honorable members for your role, and also the audit committee for explaining yourself and your role and your presence, accounting officer and your team, because these issues affect you and everybody else who was participating here with the eloquent silence. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Chairperson?
Yes?
Maybe before you, you know, I know you've already adjourned, but Mr. Horn asked for some detail, some information, but you didn't give any, you know, deadlines. So I don't know if you just keep it open.
I did. I said we want those before the 5th of March to be submitted to us. Did you get that, Fanan?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Or you wanted me to say a week before the 5th of March? You wanted me to be specific in that way? Whatever that we are going to discuss on the 5th of March, we want that information with us a week before that so that you can apply our mind on it. Okay. So that includes that as well. Norma?
A hand up. Chair, maybe all the presentations from the 5th of March should be received on the one week before.
Yes, I've just said that. Thank you. It's Friday today. The meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.